إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, as I mentioned, the tool that we use to analyze investment opportunities and to choose the best investment opportunity, one of those tools is called ROI, which is return on investment. And obviously, it goes without saying that we analyze with the idea of assessing between options, and then we choose the option which gives us the best return. And nobody in his right senses will choose an option which gives you a lower return or which actually gives you a negative return. If you did that in your worldly life, then people would say you are insane, because you are taking your assets and you are putting them into an option which actually you lose the asset. So we will never do that. Yesterday we talked about the two assets we have. One is time, which is time and energy, and the other one is money. And yesterday I mentioned about the issue of time. Then I asked you to do a time log to see how you are spending your time, and then to choose the best option of spending your time and say, what alternatives did I have and what alternatives do I have now going forward, and which is the best alternative for me to choose. Now let's take the next one, which is money. Now money is another big asset, alhamdulillah, which Allah gives us. And it's not a question of how much money. Whether you are rich or poor is immaterial. What is material is how do you use that money. Now in, again, the worldly sense, what do you do with the money? You try to put it in stocks or shares or bonds or whatever, which give you the maximum return. Now, when we are investing money, we look at two things. One is we look at security, and second one, we look at return. So the best investment of money is that which gives you maximum security and maximum return. Now, in the world of financial investment, in this life, usually security and return are inversely proportional. Something which is high security gives you a low return, and something which is very low security gives you a high return. That's how gambling is done, because gambling has zero security, but the potential of return is very high. So if you hit the jackpot, then you spend $1 and you got $1 million. But the chances of you hitting that jackpot are almost zero, and that's how at the end of the day, it is the casino owners who make the money, not the people who play the tables. So and that's why in Islam, of course, gambling is haram, because the security is zero. So now security is zero, but potential for return. On the other hand, you might say, I am investing in blue stock companies, or investing in government bonds, very high security. It'll never go down, or so we believe, but the return is maybe 3%, 4%, or whatever. You invest, why do most people invest in, or why is real estate, for example, considered to be such a great investment? Land, because it is secure. In most countries, real estate value always increases. It holds its value even if it doesn't increase. It doesn't always increase in leaps and bounds. It increases, it increases slowly, but it increases, or at least it doesn't go down. That's the belief about real estate. And so people invest a lot of money in real estate. Now, same thing we apply when we go before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we say, I had this money, Allah gave me this asset. And of course, we are talking about earning halal, because that goes without saying. If you're earning haram, then that's not an asset, that's a liability to begin with. But earning halal, alhamdulillah, if Allah has given us a halal income, whether it is more or less, whatever the quantity, what are we doing with it? Where do we spend it? That income, where do we put this income? Now that is a very, very important consideration to keep in mind. Because if we put that money into a place, once again, the same three options. Something which is a dead investment, so you put the money, it just goes down the drain, nothing happens, neither good nor bad. Or something which earns us a high return. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, whatever is spent in his path, he said it's like somebody planting a seed, and that seed sprouts, and the plant that comes out of it has 7 years, and each of those years has 100 seeds. So it means it has, oh, that seed has multiplied 700 times. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and then Allah will increase the reward of those He wishes, bi ghairi hisab, without accounting. So this is the return of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, as I said, when we look at return, we look at two things, security and return. Now with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, security is 100%, because what you invest with Allah, there is no loss in it. That thing never goes down, there's no question of market collapse, and it has a return of at least 1 in 700. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not stop with that. He said, I will give increase in keeping with my majesty and grace as much as I wish. So that's the best investment, that we invest where we get this huge reward. But sometimes we invest in things which not only do not give us reward, they are not things which are haram in themselves, but they are things which we will have to account for on the Day of Judgment. And that alone is enough to think about as accounting. We have in our city of Hyderabad, we have a classic case. We used to have a prime minister in the 1930s, prime minister of the king, whose name was Salar Jung. Now, the story is that Salar Jung, as a young man, wanted to marry a particular girl, but his grandmother, who was the head of the family, refused to permit him to marry this girl. So, Salar Jung then never married anyone. He remained a bachelor all his life. And he spent his enormous fortune in collecting things. And Salar Jung seems to have collected practically anything that could be collected. I mean, he's got from porcelain dolls to art, to manuscripts, to jade and jewelry and all kinds of things. So he has perhaps one of the largest, private collections in the world. And it's housed in a museum now. The story goes that a lot of it has since then been stolen and whatnot, and Allah knows best. But my point is, what benefit is that thing? What benefit is that collection doing for Salar Jung today? That Salar Jung is now dead, many, many decades. So the thing is, how is it benefiting him? People are going and watching, people are going and looking at the stuff in the museum. They pay some fee, which goes to the government, and then they watch, they spend their time there, and they come out and they talk about Salar Jung. Some people say good things, some people say, what a fool, all this money he had. He could have built hospitals, he could have built schools, he could have done so much good for people, he could have done so much good for himself, he could have invested, he could have bought companies, he could have become a huge billionaire, trillionaire, global businessman. Instead of that, all that money he had, he spent buying porcelain dolls and paintings and whatnot. So the point is that different people have different opinions. But my point is, forget all the opinions. What good is that museum and its collection doing for Salar Jung now that he is in his grave? And that's the question we have to ask. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive the poor man and to save him from himself. But the point is that tomorrow, if you and I are in that same place, sure, we don't have the money, or at least I don't have the money. Even if I had it, I wouldn't spend it like that. But I'm saying that some of us may not have the money to build a collection as big as Salar Jung's. But whatever you do, whether you're building a collection, whether you are spending the money in restaurants, whether you're spending the money in whatever activity, that money is an asset. That asset either earns something good for us or it earns something evil. And therefore, we need to ask ourselves, before we spend any money in anything, what is the benefit of this spending? And if it is not beneficial, or if it is something which is may not be haram in itself, but it is something which is going to leave behind some property that I will have to account for before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we have to really question that investment and say, no, I'm not going to spend money in that. And that's why sometimes they say the difference between men and boys is the price of their toys. That's what we end up doing. We just collect toys, all kinds of toys, anything that strikes our fancy, buy it and keep it. And very quickly we lose interest in it, and it's lying there. I mean, seriously, but whether we lose interest or not, if we spend money buying that thing, then on the Day of Judgment, we will be called to account for it. And Allah will say, I gave you money. Is this what you did with it? what else could you have done? So the same analysis once again that we did with time, which is to say, what else could I have done with that money? What options did I have? And believe me, here these are options which are even more both with time and the money. These options are even more serious than life and death, because we are talking about life and death in the hereafter, which never ends. So if you buy stuff, or if you spend time in stuff in this world, which at the expense of your eternal salvation, at the expense of your eternal happiness, then that is a completely retarded thing to do. So do think about that and say, this money which I have, I spend it buying this gimmick, this gadget, this same money, if I can spend bringing goodness into somebody's life, in helping somebody, in doing something good, in creating assets which earn for me after I am dead, sadaqatul jariyah, if I spend this money in earning those assets, then those collections, unlike the collection of Salar Jung, will earn reward for us long after we have gone into our grave. All the schools you establish, all the masajid you build, all the hospitals you start, all the works of general goodness that you do, either by spending your time and energy or by spending your money, will continue to earn reward for you and me long after we have gone into our graves. Unlike the other times and places that we spend our time and our money in. So seriously, let us make Ramadan into this time of reflection and contemplation, and bring about some serious changes in our lives, so that going forward out of Ramadan, we have lives which become 100% earning assets for us, for ourselves, so that our lives become earning assets, so that our life become an investment in our akhirah, which is why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, this life is your field, plow this field and plant this field, so that the harvest you will get in the akhirah with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.